It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
House has some heavy Friday the 13th roots to it. Steve Miner directed this, who also directed Friday the 13th 2 and 3. Yeah. Kane Hodder is the stunt coordinator of this film. Yeah.
In the closet upstairs, I saw something.
This is other than coats and hats, etc.
No. I saw a ghost, something.
This was supposed to be a part of an anthology that was fleshed out into its own feature.
I'm going to trick you too, Roger. This house knows everything about you. Leave while you can.
No!
I can't wait for the scores on this one. I can't wait for the scores on this one. Brian Stewart?
This is Poltergeist Mac and Me. It really is.
I should have known when he wore that fucking V-neck sweater all the way down to his fucking belly button. It was a horrible movie.
It's getting away! Carol, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like being forced to eat shit and then looking on the bright side is at least there's corn in it still. Like,
don't flinch! No! Don't worry, Roger! I'll hold on to you if it's the last thing I do!
It's called House. Well, it's fucking haunted. There's
a TV show called House.
Okay.
That doesn't make
House
it.
MD.
You would have made this so much
House
better.
Fucking MD. Like, you're gonna go there.
I've been waiting years for this, Roger.
Please stab me. You'd stab
if you
me
said,
right
Brian,
now.
Stab me, or I'd make you watch this movie again. I'd be like,
you know what?
Your
play.
Least favorite.
I'm now. Hitting play right now. Let's watch it one more time. This is Cash Wampum, your host of the Horror 101 show, and you have found yourself at the gates of episode 99. And oh my god, brothers and sisters, do we have a shit show for you today? Seriously. I thought, as an addition to the haunted theme we're spinning this year, that we could focus on a fun horror comedy that I remembered fondly from the mid-80s called House. This was a Steve Miner film produced by Sean S. Cunningham and starring William Catt. And as you can probably tell by the prelude to terror that you just listened to, my crew hated this movie. They spent 2 hours shitting all over this poor film. So I suggested we just axe the whole thing. And then, the nerve of these fuckers. They threatened to never podcast again if I didn't make a show out of this tar and feather session. So what can I do? My hands are completely tied. For this 99th episode, we are going to absolutely destroy Steve Miner's house. But before we get started, I just want to say that the crew was all on site for this recording. We decided it was time to reconvene, and it was damn good to see everyone again.
Lord,
thank you, Lord. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
Hello, sir. How goes it?
COVID handshakes all around. COVID handshakes. Hello. How are you?
It's weird seeing everybody with hair.
I know, eh? Look at this shit. It's ridiculous.
Fucking
it's ridiculous. Know, right? Grizzly Adams.
Well, I called him Hagrid.
That's it. You know,
Hagrid.
Hagrid,
yes. Merle Hagrid.
Well, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, after so long, it is really nice seeing you motherfuckers again.
Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome. Absolutely.
I've
welcome back
faces.
To the dungeon. No more of this freaking Discord shit.
Worked, though.
Yeah, it did.
What it needed to do.
It worked, but I was getting really annoyed with the whole not knowing when to talk.
Or not knowing if somebody's hearing you.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Yes. We're just not replying to you right now.
Or the beginning of a conversation or the end of a conversation getting clipped.
There's a bit of delay, too. Someone would finish talking, and you go to jump in, and then someone else would be talking, because they'd be like, ah.
Now, at least it's not like ham, where it's only one person can transmit. You can hear people overlapping, which was fine for editing.
Right.
And I didn't have a problem editing the shows. Actually, the last couple of shows turned out pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they did. They did.
But I like being able to see you schmoes and getting, you know, like, reading your faces on the conversations that we're having. I can't do that on fucking Discord.
Well, you could, but it'd be kind of weird. Just be a little fucking corner video.
Audio only. So does everybody know what we're doing this evening?
Yes.
Yes.
Drinking.
What are we Well, yes, drinking is part of it. Thank you, Brian Stewart. But the film that we are focusing on this evening is House 1985 with William Catt. And I just George procured a new version of it for this evening.
You know, I once had a beer with George Wendt.
Really?
I did.
He was in Windsor.
He was in Windsor. The first Windsor Comic Con, you could pay money to sit next to him at the bar and have a beer with George Wendt.
Yes, I want to hear the whole thing. He seems like he'd be a fairly nice...
miserable prick.
Really?
He was. He did not want to be there.
Miserable son of a bitch.
Really?
Yep.
He did not want to be there. He may have actually had a beer with each person. He may have.
Yeah.
But he seemed nice enough. I asked him a couple of questions. So, you know, it's like, oh, thanks. And that was it. And he didn't seem too happy to be there. He's like, this is where my life is. I'm in Windsor, Ontario, having pictures.
He was at the same con as Giancarlo Esposito and Kevin Smith.
Has everybody seen House with William Catt 1985?
I saw it here.
Come on, man.
I don't think so.
Big Ben? The thing in the closet that comes out at midnight?
It has Richard Mall.
You know William Catt, right?
Yeah, the greatest American hero.
The greatest American hero. G.I. Joe was there. That's so completely wrong.
This man.
That's completely wrong. That's wrong.
No.
That's completely wrong.
Believe it or not, you're wrong.
Boo this man, boo this man.
I'm not home. Remember, it was George, remember?
Yes.
Believe it or not, I'm not home. Greatest American Hero was the shit that came on after the horror movies on Channel 20 and Channel 50 that I had to turn off.
And Hardcastle and McCormick.
I was like, okay, from 1 to 5, it was horror movies on Saturday Thriller. And then after that, it was either Godzilla or Greatest American Hero, and I was like, click, okay, my horror fix is done. That was my Saturday afternoons growing up right there. So, Greatest American... I went through a few episodes, but, I mean, when you think William Catt, you gotta go to Greatest American Hero.
Well, that's what he's known for.
I mean, and basically the show was about him finding... It was like an FBI agent he was chumming with.
Yeah, was it William Devane or something like that?
The guy that did the voice for Breen in Half-Life. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. They find this alien ship, and he finds this suit. Kind of looks like the Nanu Nanu, the Mork from Ork suit. He puts it on, and he can fly.
Exactly.
Robert Culp.
Is that him?
Same
guy, right? Robert
Culp? Yeah, that's why I got the Robert right, but I couldn't remember I got the last name fucked up. Yeah,
so, exactly like Mork's costume.
Very similar, yeah.
I think... William Catt from that era, and it reminds me of like Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin for some reason.
Oh, the white bike for all,
I don't know why I go there, that it just reminds me of Led Zeppelin. But anyway, all I remember from Greatest American Hero is the guy was a crime fighter, but every time he flew, he fucking sucked at it. Like, he could fly, but he was like, oh, like, how do you fly and just kind of like, you're all over the place. You don't know how to fly correct.
Huh? You're not doing it right.
You gotta run like 3 steps and jump with your hands out in front of you.
See, I've never done this before. It's my first, or what do you call it, flight.
My dad is calling the police.
Terrific.
Because he never read the instruction manual that came with it. I think he lost the instruction manual in the first episode.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever watched an episode, because my Saturdays were... WWF wrestling, whatever the horror film was, and then I was outside playing.
Right.
Because everything else after that, fuck it.
So, 1985, all of a sudden William Catt is starring in this horror/comedy film that I love this film. I've watched this film 20 times. It's nothing if not entertaining.
I've seen it on Channel 20 a few times.
Because it's got good horror elements to it, and it's got good comedy elements to it. This movie was supposed to be part of an anthology. What happened was Twilight Zone, the movie, came out in 83. Sean S. Cunningham, that gave us Friday the 13th, he's like, you know what? We're going to fucking do this. So he got together with a couple other writers, and they were supposed to put together an anthology, a movie anthology of several different stories. For some reason, the other people just left the project, but Sean S. Cunningham was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's flesh out our story that was going to be House, and they made it a feature movie. That's where this movie came from. And if you look, Steve Miner directed this, who also directed Friday the 13th 2 and 3.
And
so
Clancy.
House has some heavy Friday the 13th roots to it, man. Sean S. Cunningham's in it. Steve Miner's in it. Kane Hodder is the stunt coordinator of this film. Yeah. It's got George Wendt from Cheers. We mentioned that. Richard Mull from Night Court, who kind of like disappeared, right? He's kind of a hermit these days.
He does a lot of voiceover work, but no, he spends most of his time at his cottage. He has a cabin out in the woods. He's got like...
Who's this?
Richard Mull.
He's got like... How the fuck you know this?
Because I watched a special on him, Where Are They Now?
Bull from Night Court?
Because he did voiceover work. He was Two-Face in Batman the Animated Series. And I like Richard Mull. I'm a Richard Mull fan. He's a good guy.
This is a house where no one should live. Roger Cobb has come here alone. But no one is ever alone in the house.
Leave while you can!
No!
Sandy.
Horror has found a new home. At your own risk.
It's not good.
It was just...
Listeners, everyone hated this film. Okay, just to let you know, this is going to be one of those trash shows. This is going to be a trash fucking show. Everyone hated it.
Because the movie
starting with
sucks.
Honestly, just to be a contrarian, because you guys don't normally like shit and I hate it, I almost want to root for this.
Come on! Give me more! We've got a old woman in the house hangs herself in this fucking house. Hangs herself. She swings.
She was tricked into hanging herself. What? The house tricked her.
It's kind of ambiguous on why that is. You know, oh, it tricked me into hanging myself. But how? A lot of questions
why?
That aren't answered, certainly. Yes?
Mr. Parker. Mr. Cobb, it's a pleasure to see you again. How's the drive? Actually, it wasn't
good. Good. Glad to hear it.
You know, I didn't expect to hear from you again so soon. I just got the for sale sign up yesterday.
We know that the real estate agent was Craven Real Estate.
Do you know who the real estate agent was? Do you know, recognize him?
Something Ensign.
He's from Ghostbusters.
He's the hotel manager in Ghostbusters.
$5,000? I have no idea it'd be so much. I won't pay it. That's okay. We'll just put it right back in there. No! We'll pay it. Fuck.
Sandy?
Mom?
Honey, is Jimmy in there with you?
No, I thought he was around the side with you. Stop. Checking the back?
Jimmy!
What happens right before he tells the real estate agent that he's not selling?
He has the flashback of the kid in the pool and the kid going away.
He knows that kid's still on the property. He's stuck there. He's in that house somewhere.
Mr. Cobb, your son is not in the pool. Your son is nowhere in the neighborhood.
I'm telling you, I saw him in the pool. He was in the swimming pool, and I ran, and I dove in.
And he wasn't there.
It was the house. It was the house that did it.
Right, Mrs. Hoover, we understand.
Telling you, Roger, it's the house.
Yeah, there's a bit of a weird disconnect from when he loses his son. There's a jump in the timeline where a lot isn't explained.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know what the timeline of all this is.
No, we don't know if it's 10 years or what. His kid hasn't aged at all, so it can't be too further into the future.
I'd say a year, maybe a year and a half. maybe not much.
The not six, aging, I can believe the kid. Yeah.
Six months to a year.
Kid might not have aged.
Yeah, that's possible.
And Elizabeth.
It won, Roger. It tricked me. I didn't think it could, but it did.
What?
Going to trick you too, Roger. This house knows everything about you. Leave while you can.
No!
I like when he sees his aunt, and the aunt's like, yeah, the house tricked me.
That's a good one, yeah.
Don't let it trick you too. And then she jumps off with the noose and disappears. And he's going through the house looking for her.
This house makes no sense to me. I like a haunted house like the Haunting Forest to have some sense that we know what it's why it's haunted or who's behind the haunting. This is just random insanity. It's just, there's no logic to it, no rhyme or reason. Why the aunt got tricked into hanging herself. How do you get tricked into hanging yourself? That makes no freaking sense.
Like, how do you live in this place for so long and this arbitrarily one day be like, it tricked me? It's like,
howdy, neighbor. Just move in?
Yeah, last night.
Harold Gorton.
Hi, Roger.
Roger. Well, hey, it's great to have a new neighbor. Woman lived here before you was nuts. Biggest bitch under the sun. Just a senile old hag, really. Wouldn't be surprised if someone just got fed up and off her, you know what I mean?
She was my aunt.
Heart of gold, though. Just a saint, really. And such a beautiful woman for her age. Mm-hmm. Would you like some dinner? You and the whole family? Just come on out, or I'll whip something up, you know?
Afraid I'm alone.
You're alone? Well, that's better yet, you know, because just get some burgers, watch the game. You're an A's fan, right?
Yeah, sort of. I'm a writer. I'm up here just kind of trying to get away from things for a while. You know, solitude.
This can't be, right? Roger. Roger Cobb, right?
Yeah, that's me.
I'm your biggest fan.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Right here. Oh, whoops. It's a little kind of falling apart. But, would you mind autographing this for me?
Oh, you bet. You got a pen?
I should have known when he wore that fucking V-neck sweater all the way down to his fucking belly button. It was a horrible movie.
Isn't that like an 80s thing?
No, I don't know.
No.
The gray V-neck sweater all the way down?
That sweater was strictly for the ladies, and it did not appeal to you. No. No, fist fire.
If he turns too quickly, you're seeing a nipple. Wouldn't it be funny if the idea for those stupid fish that you put on your wall that did Don't Billy Worry Bass. Be Happy came from that shit?
That's where I think it did.
Yeah.
The little fishes that swim and fucking sing.
No, it did not. Yeah.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, yeah. Motherfucking singing my fish.
Cousin, yeah, my cousin Roger, I bought those Billy Bass fish. He used to sing Take Me to the River.
What about the gardening tools coming after him? Ding, ding.
Poltergeist?
Ding, ding, ding. Poltergeist didn't have anything like that. Poltergeist 2 had a chainsaw coming after their car.
They didn't have things flying around and stuff in Poltergeist?
I don't remember a hoe and a shovel coming after them in Poltergeist.
I like how they knock and they open the door and they're just floating there. Yeah. I thought that was neat.
Fish flapping, so he shoots the goddamn thing.
I like how they knock on the door first, and he opens the door, and they're just...
the shovel's like...
Hi.
Sandy.
I tried to call, but there was no answer. I was worried about you, Roger.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you. What are you doing with that gun?
Nothing. Sandy.
Nothing redeeming to say anymore because they bring fucking Fiona as a demon or whatever.
Who?
from Shrek, Fiona.
Are you fat shaming the inspector in this movie?
I'm just saying she was green. She was. That's what they. You know.
She was purple and blue.
She was part. Some of it with her was green.
She was blue in a purple dress. Nobody liked the drama with the gun going off. He shot what he thought was the witch. Turned out it might have been his ex-wife.
No, because I've seen that a million times in better movies.
The house might have been fucking with him. Maybe he shot his wife. It was an accident kind of deal. And then the cops show up, and George Wentz there.
And then it falls into a fucking Keystone Cops routine. Yeah, but the we'll have a coffee.
Like when he goes upstairs, he's looking for the gun after the cops leave, and he goes into the bedroom where he thinks the thing's in the closet, and he goes into the room, and that fucking witch comes up behind him holding the gun that he's looking for. So not only is she alive, she's got the fucking shotgun. And you're like, oh my god, what the fuck is that about? And everybody's like, oh, that sucked.
Where's your son, Roger? You'll never find him. He's dead.
He's not dead. Some place in this house.
Say your prayers.
But then the voice effect they used for...
He's
I was waiting for the go, remember me, Eddie!
Say your prayers. Click. Oh, that gun's not loaded. I'll fucking beat you with this fucking... fire poker.
Feeling better now that we're through.
Two ridiculous uses of songs that were just blaring at us for no reason that didn't seem to fit the movie.
You've seen this before.
I like the songs on their own. I don't like them for the movie.
I no longer like those songs. The songs have been ruined for me now. I can never hear them again without associating with this movie. But they just seem to come out of nowhere. They didn't even fit what was going on screen. Which was the odd thing.
The one was...
feeling better now that we're through?
Yeah.
Now that I fucking killed you and I'm going to bury you in the fucking yard until the dog comes and digs part of you up and then takes off of you.
It is just such a jarring musical interlude that it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit the tone or nothing comes out of nowhere. So the first appearance of the creature in the closet, right? So he moves in, and he's another professional who has to go to a haunted house to get work done, kind of like the changeling.
Okay.
And he also has to drop blood in the house, too, so shit doesn't get real until you spill blood in the house, and then the house goes crazy, right? Because he cuts his finger on the fish.
Shark teeth.
Or the shark teeth.
Don't fuck with the shark teeth.
Sorry, were you saying you liked the first appearance of the creature?
No. It was out of nowhere.
That's insane. Rip off it happened. Poltergeist.
Wants to be Poltergeist in the worst way.
No, that specific scene is Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Haunting, maybe? But, like, the shit that was coming out of this house was, like, borderline Lovecraftian. Like, there's something weird going on with it. Like, that, because I didn't really get much of a ghost thing from it. Like, it had a fucking face on its neck when it came out, like...
The war demon. The war demon.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, what kind of ghosts?
My aunt thought this house was haunted.
No offense, Roger, but your aunt was Looney Tunes.
What about me? You think that I'm Looney Tunes?
Not at all. You've been to Vietnam, lost your only child, your wife divorced you. I mean, you've got a few marbles rolling around, but right now you seem fine.
I think this house is haunted. In the closet upstairs, I saw something.
This is other than coats and hats, etc.
No. I saw a ghost, something. I opened the closet door and it reached out and it tried to grab me.
Yeah, this is sounding a little bit like some of your novels. You sure you're just not imagining this?
Does this look like imagination?
It's a very nasty scratch. I'd get someone look at that.
I opened the closet door and it reached out and it tried to grab me.
So, all the cameras up there, you're naturally you're trying to get a photo of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Why did he allow George Went to interrupt the photographing of the monster that next? And first of all, the very next night, he tries to open the door and nothing happens. And he's surprised. I'm like, no, you just learned that it only happens at midnight. You learned that in the previous scene.
Again,
how did you forget that?
Zero narrative structure.
What is the purpose of the fucking photograph? Why? Why are you photographing? Why are you videotaping this? They made this whole big thing. You see U-Haul truck or whatever the fuck the moving company was with all this videotape recording equipment.
Who's it going to show it to?
Who cares? Okay, so guess what? You've proven there's demons. You've proven the house is haunted. That's still not going to get your kid back, at least at any level where you're going to have to give it to somebody.
At that particular point in the thing, the whole subplot of the kid is still in the house does not even fucking exist.
So then why even record it?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. That's like... Why? That's the plot of the movie.
Why?
So that people don't think he's crazy as he's walking around in military fatigues.
Do you remember the other night when I told you I saw something?
Yeah. Hmm?
Well, I guess I must have been a little hysterical because it wasn't a ghost. It was a raccoon.
Really?
A big raccoon. About the size of a Saint Bernard.
Ooh. Cujo the raccoon.
I got him trapped right now there in the closet.
Honestly, I will admit, I liked the scene when he finally, when he gave George Went the harpoon gun. When he had that whole rig set up.
And told him it was a raccoon.
And told him it was a raccoon, like, just because.
Yeah, that's going to prepare him.
Now, the minute you see this thing, I want you to fire and hit him right between the eyes. If you don't kill him, Harold, he's probably going to try and get away, so I want you to hold on very tight. You got that? Okay. Come over here and stand right there so you get a real good shot at it.
Yeah.
And so we time everything perfect. I'm going to open the door at exactly 12 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. Well, no, just because I like the way it pulled off because it was the thing that finally kind of set up the only kind of plot progression in the movie. Because it was like him actually getting... You finally find out what happens if he actually gets pulled into the closet type thing, you know. I just thought the scene, the way they did it, like the effects were good. But honestly, like, I just like that whole, like, you just see the rope disappear into the door. But then we're just back on the soundstage in Vietnam thing again. I'm just like, oh, fuck me.
Jimmy!
Okay. It was the specter of his dead buddy.
I would say
that he failed to kill. Listen, he went to Vietnam with this guy, and Big Ben was a fucking idiot, and that's why he got shot, because he was a fucking moron when he was walking point. And he's like, okay, I'm hurt. Kill me.
I can't do it. I'm gonna go get help. No! Oh, get the truck back for you. No! Ben,
It's like, no, I can't do this, man. I'm gonna go get fucking help for you. He's like, no. And then sure enough, the fucking VC pick him up, torture him for weeks before he dies, and now he's gonna get revenge on Roger Cobb because he was a fucking asshole and got shot because he was an idiot.
Just letting y'all know right now, if you ask me to mercy kill you, I'm gonna do it. I'm not taking any chances.
With a knife? With a knife? I mean, seriously, I wouldn't be able to slit your throat. I'd put a bullet in your head easily enough, but I wouldn't be able to slit your throat. Couldn't do that.
Okay.
Brian Stewart?
I'd stab you if you asked me to.
Really?
Nicely.
Please stab me. You'd stab me right now? Brian,
stab me, or I'd make you watch this movie again. I'd be like,
you know what? Your least favorite. I'm hitting play right now. Let's watch it one more time.
Like I said, there's moments, but anytime there was any form of buildup whatsoever, they fucked the landing.
Like taking us to a crappy soundstage that we're supposed to believe is Vietnam.
It's like watching the Olympics and every floor routine ended in the fucking faceplant. Like, it's just like, okay, this might, like, even, like, yeah, like, looking into the abyss. And then it's like, oh, then something, like, the whole idea of something coming through the hole in the bathroom mirror. But instead it's just like, what's left over on the lot from something? We're gonna throw in a fucking tentacle, we got this glove from this thing, we got that. It's
Was there any scene in this film where there was genuine drama or any kind of dread for you? Any scene where you're like, oh, that's kind of freaky?
I suppose the only thing that may have registered may have been lowering himself into the abyss, that whole emptiness, the bottomlessness of it, because we all grew up in the video game age. Characters falling to their deaths, like Super Mario Brothers dropping into the endless nothing. I kind of get that. So there you go. Yeah. Nick has the songs.
Like, who the fuck would repel themselves into oblivion? Yeah,
not only that, but you don't know how far down. Did he hear
fucking those? William fucking Cat looking for his kid.
Possibly Liam Neeson.
Did he hear the shaving cream hit the ground?
No.
Hit the water?
Yeah, you heard a splash.
Knew there was a distance.
I don't think he would have got in there if they didn't think there was a bottom.
That would have been a little
bit. But what killed it for me was just like, okay, then there's like the flying weird bat skull thing. At first, but then it steals a shotgun and just like fucking twirl and shoots the rope. I'm like,
that flying bat thing is my favorite part of this movie. That bat thing is awesome. I swear to God, if I had henchmen, they'd have to be at least as competent as that bat thing. It disarmed him and then had some gun foo there, man. It was pretty good. And in one shot, drops him into the abyss. That was pretty good.
To meet his goal of finding his child.
Dad. Oh, Dad. I want to go home.
I guess when he finds his son in Vietnam and they have that whole rush and you gotta rush back through the water, back to the pool, even though it makes no sense, but whatever. Since my other scenes were taken, I guess I'll have to choose that one. Just because I have to choose something.
Yes, you do. Choose something.
So it'd be that one where he finds his son.
It spoke to me as a father, God damn it!
Oh my God.
Oh, Dad.
William Catt? This guy's Father of the Year.
Father of the Year?
Okay, look at all the shit he went through to get his kid back. Like, seriously, who else would have put through that much fucking effort, man?
This is Liam Neeson.
This goes beyond Taken,
there
man.
There were so many plot lines.
Yeah.
It didn't even.
Yeah, make it was sense. All over the place.
I don't mind having something that doesn't make a little bit of sense, but this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
It completely lost the plot. Yeah.
Sucker! Big Ben. No, it's your fairy godmother.
You. You did this. You took my kid.
Why didn't you kill me, Roger? Didn't you have the guts to do it?
I had to get help.
They tortured me for weeks.
I would have died for you, Ben.
Well, now's your chance.
No!
Okay, I have to say this is maybe what I like. Is Ben's character as a zombie? I just love that, the practical effects for that.
That wasn't Richard Mall. That was somebody else under the prosthetics.
But that's the only thing that I liked about that.
Not overly articulate.
You didn't like the campaign that this guy went through to get his kid back?
No.
That is the major arc of the story right there. Well, forget about the house itself and what power.
Why
did
they take him?
Ben took him.
Yeah. So Ben took him.
So. What I get from this is that the house has supernatural qualities to it. It's a portal to other dimensions, and the specter of Big Ben used it to confiscate his kid to torture him. That's what I get. And at the end of the film, he finds the outlet to get back to him.
When you say other
dimensions, gets him back.
When you say other dimensions, do you mean the shitty sound station made it look like Vietnam?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Obviously, it's not $100 million movie, but continue to shit on it.
No, it's hell of a turn. It's hell of a turn.
Continue to shit on it.
You can't get rid of me, Roger. Can't and you never will.
I'm gonna have to premise this show with, we're gonna shit. All over this haunted house.
It's got a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
You do agree that it is a haunted house film? It is part of the theme?
Well, only because his friend is the force behind it all and he's dead. So yes I would say
his friend has manipulated
the force.
Think you're funny, Roger? A few years ago you had a chance to kill me. Now I'm gonna kill your little boy unless you kill yourself.
No!
Daddy!
It's finally over, Roger. You've got no chance.
That was Nightmare on Elm Street. That was the end of Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know what I liked about it is that he went to reach for his kid and he swiped.
Well, he swiped at him.
He cut his hand off.
It's the end of Nightmare on Elm Street.
And he brings it up. He's like, "You got no power here. You have absolutely no power here. I need you,
Freddy."
Yep.
So,
but Freddie wins at the end.
Nancy won in that particular moment. And that's what they obviously ripped off for this.
I beat you and this goddamn house.
I'm not afraid of you anymore, Ben. I beat you and this goddamn house.
Don't make me mad. I'm warning you, I'll slit his throat.
You can't hurt me or my son.
I'm warning you! No!
So long, sucker!
Roger, no! No! I'll get you for this!
I'm gonna stick a fucking frag grenade up your fucking sternum. Blow up.
Sorry, not my fetish.
What'd you think?
So it was a Kane.
You're never gonna watch it again.
And I was like, "What the fuck did I just watch?" Your initial thoughts? Come on, man.
Stupid.
She thought this. You didn't like this at all.
No.
You didn't like this at all.
Because it's lame. Bing!
Oh my god, dude!
Wow.
Oh, like, you didn't find this entertaining at all?
It's supposed to be a haunting.
Yes?
No.
This was supposed to be a 100% horror film. There was the screenplay was done by two gentlemen. Definitely the one guy that wrote it made it as a straight horror, and then somebody else got their hand on the screenplay and they put in the humor elements of the film. And you didn't like the amalgamation of the two.
The dumb elements of the
film. Oh, nude! Oh! Oh!
I'm sorry, Mr. Parker, I'm not selling.
What?
I said I'm not selling. Well, I hope you reconsider.
It's stupid.
I can't wait for the scores on this one. I can't wait for the scores on this one. Brian Stewart?
This is Poltergeist Mac and Me. It really is. It wants to be Poltergeist. It's so odd. I don't even know what to think of this one. This is the second time I've seen it now, and I knew what to expect, and it was still odd. It's just the, 60% of this that happens on sound stages is just weird. Because they're not even trying for any kind of realism. The creatures, this house makes no sense to me. I like a haunted house, like a haunting force, to have some sense that we know what it's, why it's haunted or who's behind the haunting. This is just random insanity. It's just, there's no logic to it, no rhyme or reason.
Elizabeth wasn't crazy, Roger. We'll see now, maybe, but just wasn't like her to go and do something like that.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I appreciate that.
Let us score it nude.
You need some fractions.
Fuck off, Brian!
Are we allowed to use negative numbers?
No, it's from 0 to 10. Nude?
I'll give it a 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
Expand.
Like I said, I mean, I like William Catt. Don't get me wrong. He's a good actor aside from this.
You don't like the V-neck sweater?
No.
He's got a great ass, maybe? Some good abs?
He's got great arms. Okay. Like, yeah, his arms were nice. But, no, and then, like I said, I was just teasing about the V-neck sweater. But, yeah, that's, yeah, I knew we were in trouble.
Belly button shower.
We saw that. But, yeah, 3.5. Like I said, just for the effects, I love the house. Absolutely love the house. But you know how I am with the big, huge houses.
Victorian's got a pool.
Staircases. You know, yeah.
It's prime real estate.
I like what it could have been. You know what I mean? And I know it's 85, but it's still, they made great movies in 85.
There were some great fucking movies in 85.
And this is not one of them. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize, nude. I didn't make it. We're just reviewing it.
Will you shut up? Will you shut up just for once, you old bat? Touchy.
Okay, thank you. Nick?
Yeah?
Score this fucker, please.
I'm actually going to go a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give her a 4.
4, yes?
Yeah. Just because... for anything, for like the 80s TV nostalgia and the practical effects, you know, like in the heat of the drum street, you know, like that whole moment with the cops, because half of this movie was going, hey, I remember him from this. Oh yeah, that guy was in that. Like, I would seriously marathon Cheers, In the Heat of the Night, 21 Jump Street, Greatest American Hero, than, like, I would rather
Night Court.
And fucking Night Court before I'd watch this again. I tried really fucking hard. Like, I get the nostalgia because I watched this when I was a kid. Like, you're right. Aside from, like, blurring out a couple of the swear words, there's nothing they really need to do, like, to make this movie
TV-friendly.
To
edit it for TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it... But when I was a kid, I didn't give a crap about half of the stuff because I've seen good movies now. Like, I know how a movie is supposed to be made. And I can't even call this a guilty pleasure. Like, it's like when you... There's a movie that you watch when you're a kid that you think is good. And then you watch it again without nostalgia goggles. Like, and they just get ripped right the fuck off your head. And you realize, oh my god, this movie was crap.
It's like Last Starfighter
and
for
it's
me.
It's always when you watch it with somebody else trying to tell them, like, oh my god, you should see this movie. And then you watch it and all you do is feel embarrassed the entire time.
Because they don't have the nostalgia that you do.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like being forced to eat shit and then looking on the bright side is at least there's corn in it still. Like...
What's going on? What? Harold, don't do that!
What did I do?
You scared the hell out of me, that's what you did.
Sorry, I thought I'd bring over a midnight snack. Solitude's always better with someone else around, you know?
Brian Stewart?
I'm gonna match Nick's four. This is maybe the first time in a while that we have the same score.
Powers combined.
All right. Woo-hoo. But I like a good cheesy movie. I would watch this again if you press play right now. Yes, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Oh, fuck
I, you. You want to press play right now, I will watch it with you. We need to ride home afterwards.
I will like it.
Let me ask everybody. We've done House 3, which was the horror show. Remember with Lance Henriksen?
I wasn't here, but I have seen it, yes.
Did you enjoy that one more than this one?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Really? Nude?
Do I remember House 3?
With Max Jinky and Lance Henriksen and Brian James.
Where he was like,
with the electric chair.
Yeah.
That was
House 3.
That one at least had somewhat of a narrative.
What else was it called?
It was the horror show.
The horror show. Okay.
Yeah, the horror show.
Like, that one at least took itself seriously.
Yeah, that had a consistent tone. This was all over the place. I could see where this felt like a movie that was written by seven different people. It felt like it was trying to be way too many. It took its cues from amazing horror films. Like, you could see elements of Poltergeist. You could see elements even of Changeling. And you could see where it was inspired by better horror films. And it wanted it to do a lot. Like, it was ambitious. I'll give it that. Like, it just needed to narrow its focus. It needed to streamline that absolute mess of a screenplay.
I'm sorry, if your best compliment is it was ambitious. Well, all films set out to be ambitious.
Unless it's a Uwe Boll film.
Well, true, fair enough.
You can see that this was a film, at least people who were fans of horror, they were inspired by the horror films. You can at least see that in it. But what they ended up with was quite a mess. They needed to narrow their focus. They needed to streamline that. It failed on the page first before the cameras even started rolling. The screenplay was just all over the place.
Brian said there were seven people who wrote the screenplay.
No, yeah.
Six of them were on cocaine.
Cocaineum.
You know, she thought this house was haunted.
Get out of here.
You're kidding, aren't you?
Paul B., score it.
I will give it a 3.
So even less than new.
Even less than new.
Expand.
It's a hot dumpster fire of a film. It's not scary, not funny. It tries too hard to be scary and funny, and fails both ways. It has this pedigree of people that you think it would be a much better film with, and it's not. It's way too padded. Honestly, when you said we were doing this, my initial reaction was this is going to be a shit show, because.
But sometimes
the best thing I can say about this was it was a throwaway line in Scream 2. That's literally the best thing I can say about this
film. Which line was that?
When they're sitting in the film class and they're talking about how there was never a good sequel, somebody said, "Oh, House 2, the second story." That was the throwaway line to Scream 2.
But it wasn't a good sequel.
I know, but that
House 2 was worse than this one.
I know, but that's the joke, right?
Yeah. Obviously. We have to do it.
No!
Fuck that! Fuck you! Fuck you!
There has to be at least one good drinking game for the second story. There has to be.
This was awful.
You're pissing me off, Roger.
My score, I will give it a 6.5.
What the fuck?
Yep. I will give it a 6.5.
You are a fucking shill.
I grew up with this film. I think William Cat carries this phenomenally. I like the campaign about this guy who lost his kid on the premises, knows that something is wrong with the whole thing, inherits this house, and goes back to fucking find his kid and save him from that whatever paranormal fucking bullshit is thrown at him. And a lot of paranormal shit is thrown at him. Is there padding? Sure. Is there bullshit? Sure. Is there bad effects? Sure. But in the end, we got William Cat extracting his kid from the paranormal out of this house and saying, I fucking win, and I'm never bored. I am never bored throughout this film. I've seen it at least a dozen times. So yeah, I'll give it a 6.5. Is it perfect? No. Is it far from perfect? Yes.
Don't forget bad sweaters.
Okay, you don't like the costuming? Talk to somebody in costuming.
I'm sorry,
okay?
Seriously. If the plunge on that sweater was any lower, it would be seen as fucking treasure trail.
Okay. If he walked in with the V-neck sweater and I could see his dick, I'd probably deduct a point or two, but I didn't see his dick. So it couldn't have been that.
You're getting
bad.
Some V-neck sweaters for Christmas. You know this, right?
Do I have V-neck sweaters, pants?
I buy him high V-neck.
High V-neck?
Oh, that won't
little
work.
Bit. No. You want to see a little bit of chest here? No, just a high V.
It's nice to see somebody around here's got some guts.
Somebody got no brains, too.
Well, there it is, my friends, my listeners. The complete devastation of Steve Miner's house. I know there's going to be a few boos from the gallery, a few thumbs down. That's fine. I completely understand. They can't all be diamonds. This is what my crew keeps telling me anyway. And I don't care what they say. This is a haunted house film. Love it or hate it, there is no doubt about that. In any case, we hope you enjoyed this 99th episode. We've received a few messages from listeners asking if we have something special in store for our 100th episode, and the answer is yes, absolutely. A plan has been made. We're very excited about it. We will be mentioning this plan in our Cutting Room Floor segment, which will be featured on Patreon in the middle of the next month. If you're a fan of the show, we hope you'll consider dropping by patreon.com/horror101 and giving us a pledge. Our supporting listeners are the ones helping to keep this show alive, and we want to thank each and every one of them. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears. He was an old man. He was a sadist. He shorted out the electric chair with all the fucking shit that he had stuck in his genitals. Nick, how are you, sir?
Hello.
He's walking into this conversation.
That was a great part of the conversation.
I was going to say, it's like, I didn't know you were there.
What's up?